following communicator is a little girl. She called herself Maisie Wilmont. She's 12 years old. She came through to our group in August 1977. The medium was Mr. Leslie Flint.
Maisie.
Hello, Maisie.
Maisie.
Here's mine.
Hi, Maisie.
Hello,
Maisie.
Hello, Maisie.
Maisie.
Come on, Maisie.
Maisie.
Maisie Wilmont.
Wilmont.
Yes.
Wilmont.
Yes. Wilmont.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where did you live?
Isha.
Isha, that's near us.
Yes.
We live at Kingston.
Sometimes show you, and by the power of their thoughts, they can picturize, if that's a
part, certain person or persons or certain scenes, and it's like in some strange way, like it used to be many years ago when you went to the picture house and you sat in the dark and you looked up and there you saw people and things as if they were happening in front of your eyes. And we can do this. I learned to do it. For instance, when we come down to you, when we go to a medium, we can concentrate our thoughts and we can send out pictures of things and people and incidents and all sorts of things mentally. And so when you reach a certain stage of evolution or development over here, then you are more in tune with higher paths and higher, more highly evolved souls, and they can show you and give you ideas and impressions and pictures of things appertaining to their life, and also to some extent also to their experience. And someone who is very highly evolved, who may not enter into a lower vibration or have no desire to, or perhaps not able to for some reason, they can send you these impressions through someone else on a different level. It's most extraordinary. I have seen Jesus, but not with my eyes, but with my soul. I have sensed and felt him, and have seen him, and have created, as it were, my own picture of him, which has reality in it, because I'm told that this is what others have seen and experienced, and therefore it's obviously true. But you see, all life is a mental thing, isn't it? I mean, whether you're in your world or this, we are creating all the time our own environment, and we inherit whatever it is that we have sown in the way of seeds. We reap, as it were, the harvest. I remember when I used to go to Sunday school, and we used to have three little cats, and I remember I started to collect them. I had many of them, which I used to put in a book, and I remember, too, we had a screen that my mummy brought me many, many years ago, and I used to put on the screen all sorts of scraps. Some of them were things that I'd received from the Sunday school, and some were things I'd cut out of books and magazines. You see, I was always rather religious, I suppose, in a kind of way. I was always interested in the Bible, and I was always interested in reading stories about, well, nice people and people who'd been to foreign countries and converted and helped in Africans and the less developed souls. And, you know, I always hoped when I grew up that I'd be a missionary. But of course it wasn't to be, you see. But now I feel I can be something like a missionary, and I hope one day I might be able to find someone who I can use in that capacity, because I'd like them very much. But you know, it's very odd, as I'm talking to you, I remember myself in a way as I was, and I also remember some of the things of myself as I am, and it's strange how I hear myself in a way sending out my thoughts and hearing the sound and hearing and knowing this, that and the other about all sorts of things all jumbled up together, just like my screen. It was a jumble of all sorts of bits and pieces. There was religious things on one side, and then on the other side there were things that I cut out of magazines and books. And I remember we used to have a book that my people used to have, and it was called Household Words, and there were lots of interesting old pictures in that, and I used to tear them out. I was very naughty. I don't think my parents ever realized, but I did, you know, and I used to think, oh, I'd love to put that on my screen, but I better not, or they'll see that. And then I took it out of the book, and you know, one has to be so careful, and one doesn't want to hurt in one's feelings. But sometimes when you see something very beautiful, I suppose you feel you want to possess it. And in a kind of way, I suppose I did, because I always had access to the book and other books too. But nevertheless, I used to get all sorts of things, and I used to do all sorts of things too. And when I was lying ill in bed, and I was ill in bed for months and months, and my mummy and daddy, of course, were very good to me, and I had an auntie. Her name was Valerie, and she used to come and see me sometimes, and she used to bring me pieces of things, you know, and I used to sometimes sit up in bed, and I used to crochet, and I used to do things like picket point, although I wasn't very good at that, and my mummy was good at it. She did a lot of things that way, and of course eventually my two brothers, one of my brothers died, and he met me when I came over. He was a little older than me. And then there's another brother who died recently, or fairly recently. Of course, he was aged up then. And of course, then my people went away, and I lost touch for a time. Not that I didn't go and see them, because they didn't understand anything about spiritualism or anything like that. But my mummy, she always had this sort of idea that there was something after death, but she didn't realize that you could make contact. She always believed that on the resurrection day, then you would, you know, the trumpet would sound. And I suppose in a strange kind of way, I used to think rather like that. But I always remember the day I died. I remember it was a horrible day. And somehow I didn't mind, because it was such an invisible day. And somehow I got the idea in my head that when I died, that I'd be in a very nice environment until the time came for me to return to Earth. I never thought I'd ever come back like this, but I have no regrets, of course. I rather like it, but I wouldn't want to, I don't think I'd want to come back and live on Earth. I'd like to find a good medium, then perhaps I could help people and just come back occasionally. Although I'm told some mediums keep people very busy, and I suppose that has to be in a way. I wouldn't mind if I was helping people, but there seems to be some arrangement you have to have. But I think I'm ready for it now. If only I could find the right person. It's very difficult, you know.
Yes,
I
mean,
to
marry
places.
Sometime, yes.
Yes, I know, but it's very difficult.
You found
yeah. Oh, do yeah. I? Well, I don't know that I was precocious. I was always interested in everything, you know. I like to have my finger in the pie. I was something of a tomboy, I suppose, but I used to play with my other brother. And also I used to play with the little boys next door. We had a nice little orchard, you know, and we had a nice garden, and we had three dogs, well, one after the other, but I remember one really well, and we used to call him Bruno. He was a big dog, a very nice dog he was. He was a sort of collie, not quite. And there were photographs of him taken with me in the garden. And also we had a swing, which we used to let the other boys use sometimes, if they were in favour.
Is your old house in Isha still there?
Oh, goodness, I suppose it is. I don't know, it might be.
I thought you might have visited it.
No, I haven't been back there for years. I suppose one day I will go back. It's rather interesting. Perhaps I will go back and see if it's still there. And if it is, I will come and tell you. And do you remember Elm? Elm Road. Elm Road. And there used to be a funny little shop where I used to go sometimes. A funny little place it was. The lady who ran it, she was a little stout woman, and she was very kind, and she was very good at making up little baskets and things.
Yeah.
I remember we had a big party, and she supplied certain things too. She was very nice, but, oh well. I don't know why I talk about all that, do you?
You sound very interesting, darling.
And you come from that part of the world, do you?
Yes, we're close to the Pod Thames, very near each other.
Oh, very nice, isn't it?
Yes.
I know, I used to go, of course, I was ill for a long time, but my mummy used to give me lessons.
Yes. Do you remember the old address there, Marjorie?
I know it was a big house.
I'll find it.
And we had a wall outside and the drive, and there was a carriage we had, and we had several people, servants, you know. And I remember we had Tishy. At least I used to call her Tishy. Wasn't really her name. Her name was Letitia. But I always called her Tishy.
Yes.
She was very nice. She's dead, you know. Just like me.
Now you like being dead?
Oh, yes. I have no objections. I mean, now I've sorted myself out. And, of course, I've met my parents and my brothers. And I'm quite happy. And my mother's changed her mind, of course, about all this now. But then, of course, everyone has to.
Did you have any choice?
Oh, yes, of course you do. You're not supposed to do anything if you don't want to do it.
No, I mean, you say you've no objection to being dead. Did you have any choice?
Oh, I don't know why anyone should object to being dead. It's the nicest condition under which you could ever exist.
Mm.
I think being dead is very nice indeed. Because we're not dead, you see. We're much more alive now than ever we were. Oh, yes, I went to a very good school for a time, you know. And my mother and my father would have put me into a boarding school, you know. But because my health was always very delicate, I had a governess, you see, and she was very nice, but, well, I suppose she was better than most. I shouldn't say that, should I, because that doesn't sound
right. Why not? Of
course, for yourself. Well, she was very upright, you know, and she was, well, a bit of a sourpuss.
She probably had her reasons.
Well, she didn't have much humour, and I like to do things, and I like to run and play and joke and climb trees and all that. I used to climb the tree and look over the wall. I had a terrible shock one day when I climbed the tree and looked over the wall in the bedroom. Oh, dear.
What did you see?
Well, I saw a man, and he was getting dressed. I'd never seen a man in nothing before. Well, I wasn't, you see, it didn't matter, but it worried me rather.
It's silly,
isn't it? Yeah. That's all a long time ago, and I can laugh about it now. But I know men and women are different now.
Is this the first time you've communicated?
Yes. Why?
You're very good.
Oh, I don't think it's difficult at all. When some of these people say, oh, it's terribly difficult, I don't know what they're talking about. Very easy. I just come and I say to myself, I'm going to talk to these people, and I'm going to be very real and very natural. I'm going to concentrate myself and make it so that they hear everything, and I have no problem at all. It's the most easy thing for me. But perhaps it's because I don't get terribly worked up, and I don't get tense, and I haven't got to prove anything. At least I don't think so. I hope not.
Can you describe the sort of instrument you're using with which you communicate?
Oh, it's a funny thing. It's most peculiar. It's like a sort of box thing, and it's like a mask. Okay. You know those Guy Fawkes masks, awful boys used to have?
Yeah.
Well, it's not unlike that in a way, only it's in a box, and you sort of, it's all gooey, and ever so peculiar, and you sort of move into that, and you concentrate like Billy Ho, and it sort of works, I don't know why.
It vibrates,
though. Yes, but it doesn't worry me.
Can you see it, Marjorie?
Yes.
You can?
Well, I can when I concentrate.
Oh, I see.
It fluctuates a bit, you know. Oh, I can see you. Yes, and I can see everybody. I think you're very fortunate people, because not everyone has a chance to talk to people. I wish I could talk better, but I'm concentrating like Billy has.
Very clear. You're very clear. A wonderful communicator. Yes, do try and come
I can here. See that lady on the end of the couch.
Yes?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you very clearly.
Your husband has been standing beside you ever since you came in the room. And he wants you to know he's been very close to you, and he's looking after you, and he says that when you were unwell, he was with you constantly, and he says he knows it was a very trying time, but he says, I'm sure she's going to be all right now. And I've also seen two pussycats with you.
Oh,
and your mummy too. And also, do you know who Tiddles is?
We've had so many cats, I'm sure we've had two or three Tiddles. Maisie, do you think her husband could come through then?
Oh, yes, I suppose he could. Oh, am I taking up too much time? Oh, if so, I do apologize.
It's very nice
to talk to intelligent people.
I hope you'll come back again.
You'll understand all about this.
Give my husband my love, will you?
Oh, yes, I will. And it's also an anniversary.
Anniversary?
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. But not until September.
Yes, there is one then, that's right.
And you have got a card. But it's not an ordinary card.
Oh, what sort of card?
Oh, it's a Valentine card.
Oh, I don't remember it now.
Oh, he's holding it over your head.
It's
And he's got a heart that's pierced.
Oh,
It was revolting, really, didn't it? When they said those cards, you know, with an arrow through a heart, I always think that's rather awful. I remember I used to get lots of cards and things, and I used to cut them out. I never did like those pictures of Jesus where he looks dreadful, you know, and all that, and on the cross. I always think of his resurrection. I don't like those twisted ones. Don't worry, I must go. But I've enjoyed coming to talk to you. And I'll come again if I may. Goodbye.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
That's the case.